I mean to kill you in 1 minute, Ned, or see you hanged in Fort Smith at Judge Parker's convenience.
And we have a new game today, I think, don't we, Mac?
That's right, Chess. We want a new vote on it, don't we?
Hey, Howard, there's your time. Well, thanks, Fred.
Bye, Don.
What the?
Oh, Joe Miller, you just found the marble in the oatmeal. You're a lucky, lucky, lucky little boy, because you know why? You get to drink from the fire hose!
We'll keep posting them up. You keep loading them down. Or whatever them damn geeky interweb kids would say. You listening to the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour, podcasting semi-live from Studio D Chevalier.
Okay, let's play the game.
It is the Ensemble Cast back again together for your listening displeasure.
You bet your ass.
It is my pleasure to introduce now the host of the show, from FizzlingPop.com, Colin Burton, and from SonofCheese.com, it's Derek Knight with the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Not terribly well, but I do. It's the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. This is Derek Knight from SonofCheese.com. With me, as always, as mentioned before, Colin Burton, who's smirking in a rather smarmy way.
I just think of the way you always say, as always, like you're disappointed. That's all I can feel.
No.
Every time you introduce me. As always.
No. Not like, oh, shit, he's here again. It's, yeah. Yay, he
I know,
he
I know. It's just me. It's me. It's not you, it's me.
Right. I know. Believe me. If I know anything, I know that.
Right.
My sister Heather once again joins us from, well, you know what? You just joining us.
I am.
Hi. Yeah.
Yeah, she hasn't touched her blog in a year.
No, it's all right. My wife Heather is also here, so you got Heather, both
Hi.
Wearing Broncos stuff.
Hi.
Yep. Jason Ozan from RedRumRadio.com.
What's up?
Sitting behind the brand new microphone, Chris Graham, major fucking star, chose to join us for yet another show.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. And also Chris's handler, Christina.
Hi.
And so we're all here, ready to go. No Justin Carmichael again. Really don't know what he had to do. Maybe he had to go to Japan.
Probably.
Maybe he had to go father's.
I think he just hates you.
Well, that's also possible because I think in that case I would just say take a number. Because it's he not be alone, but no, it's a shame. But we'll forge ahead. We'll move right on ahead. And before we got started, we were talking with Jason, who's got older children. I've got a very young kid. Max just turned 2 over this last weekend.
Number two,
and he's starting to talk with a little bit more erudition, and he's repeating way too many things, so I've got to be careful what I say around him. But we were talking about the complexities of raising a kid in this odd age now, with this on-demand and these interwebs and all the dangers. And you were saying something about how you're now very careful, keeping in mind, of course, what a deviant you were when you were their age. But
I don't want them to be like me.
Exactly. And that's, I think, the trap we all fall into. It's like, oh, God, I never thought this would come around to haunt me. But you were saying how you're very careful about what they do on the internet.
Yeah, I got to constantly be I'm overdoing it is what I'm doing. They're always rolling their eyes. I know, Dad. But I'm still like, don't be giving out your real name. Don't be giving out the address. Who's this guy? How do you know that's somebody from school? You know, it's.
So you are the overprotective parent.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you have. Now, are they all girls?
No, my oldest is he's a boy. And then
the oldest, he's a boy.
My oldest is a boy.
Okay, got it.
And then 2 girls under that.
Okay,
and, you know,
so.
And he's a 13-year-old boy. And I know, like you just said,
yeah.
I know what I was doing at 13. And
you didn't even have access to the internet.
I know.
Oh, my God. Imagine. You'd never have left the house. So you would have stopped showing
but
up
he could
to school.
Crush boulders with his right hand.
That's right. But only the right one. Yeah, so it's going to be a very, very interesting thing, I think, raising a kid with all of this access to entertainment. I mean, anytime the boy wants to watch something, just it's on the DVM.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants to raise baby King Boo, just fire up the Wii and he'll watch Mario Kart. And are we parents of the year? Absolutely, we're parents of the year because he sat and watched
Doggy Bolt.
He sat and watched Doggy Bolt completely enwrapped today while we finished cleaning up the back room here, also known as Studio de Chevalier. But it's. It's going to be odd, but so what we're going to do is we're going to take the time machine all the way back to when we were kids and talk about our first video game experiences, because we've all had them. Don't necessarily have to talk about the first one. Colin made this face like, I won't be able to remember that. But
I can.
I remember seeing Pong and Sears.
Yeah. But like, you know, first console, favorite console. We'll just talk video games. It'll be a video gamey type show. But before we get into that, you had said you had a story that might tie into raising kids in the old interweb age.
Yeah, when Jason was talking about protecting your kids and everything, Heather, Jordan, and I were at the library. Jordan is my daughter. She just turned 10.
Yeah.
There was this kid around her age, no parent anywhere around. They have computers that you can use, kids can use over in the kids section.
Okay.
He had found this like kind of like Stick Figure Death animation site where you pick the method that the stick figure is killed in.
Nice.
And it harmless fun.
I've seen that.
And this kid this kid is just laughing his ass off trying to show Jordan, oh, check this out, check this out. And she's trying to do her thing, you know, rather innocent. She didn't even know I was anywhere around. She's looking at him like he's insane. So I think I'm doing good. I think I'm raising her right. But this kid was just...
just gleeful depictions of cartoonish
death.
You've got to
wonder what he's going to be like in another, you know, six, 7 years.
I think he'll be fine. The key is... that fine line between fantasy and reality.
I don't think he had that.
They don't have
it. You don't think so?
I don't think, no. Jordan does.
Well, and you can speak to this because you are a first grade teacher.
Yes,
and that not only a first grade teacher, but a first grade teacher in a very interesting school district. It's almost like walking into the belly of the beast every day. So you finish your thought.
I was just going to say this kid was around fourth grade, around that age. So fourth, fifth grade.
Yeah.
It's always nice. Then they could tell you how they played Grand Theft Auto, but they don't know their letters and sounds.
Yeah. Well, that's...
They need to teach that in the game.
Yeah. You know, if they say, oh, you kill him. Hey! Ah! Ah!
Well...
press X to stomp the hooker.
That's the nice thing. They all know... they all have a good idea how to pick up a hooker, though.
Yeah.
Yes. And you can use math to figure out that if you kill her, you get how much money back?
How much more? Yeah. It's how rich you become.
Yeah. And, I mean, because that's part of the curriculum, right, is learning about money.
Yes, but I would not let our son... play that game ever.
No.
Until he's 18, maybe.
Well, I would guess, I would say 14.
18.
No. 14. 14. This is a negotiation.
No.
Well, by the time he's 14, he won't want to play that game.
It'll be so old school.
It'll be like, oh, remember the day when,
it'll be so passe.
Instead, you strap on your virtual reality outfit and just...
That sounds
steal havoc. Cars on your own. I mean, why on earth would you want to go analog?
Yeah, exactly. That also sounds like something you could see on Chat Roulette. What's he wearing? I think it's a virtual reality hot dog suit. I'm not sure.
Hope he doesn't choke.
Da-doom-doom. Shame. Why am I doing that when I've got
Heather laughed.
So, video games. We've all had them. Back in the day, I had a Sega Master System when all the other kids had a Nintendo. So, I was the outcast. It's like having... It was almost like having the Mac when everybody else had a PC. You know, you couldn't trade, you couldn't share.
And poor abused soul.
I know. So, there was like four games available for the thing. So.
That's why I wanted the Sega Master System, because everybody else had the Nintendo.
Right. So. Well, and remember, everybody else also had the games.
Yeah, but, and also...
Sega was so proprietary about it, but of course...
Double Dragon.
Dude, I love that game.
Double Dragon. I used to play that in the arcade at the Space Center. That was fun.
Yeah.
But, no, the first system, of course, we had was the 2600. And I was surprised. Were you surprised that we...
Was that the Atari?
The Atari 2600.
The one with the little...
Yes.
Okay.
And we had that too. One red
button. Yeah. Were you surprised that we had that in our house at all?
Yes. Yeah. I was more
surprised... Not that our parents were cheapskates.
No, I think...
But kind of anti-technology.
They bought it for us, but I was more surprised that they were so into playing
the
games.
The only reason, if you remember Dad's story as to why we got it, was because they got to playing it in Kmart and couldn't stop. Mm-hmm. In fact, he missed a haircut appointment.
That's right. Now,
you might be thinking, well, that's okay. But no, back in the day, he had a lot of hair. So this was actually an event. Right. For him to miss a haircut appointment because he was busy playing, I think, combat, probably, on the 2600. And so they were... Yeah, under the guise of, well, we'll get it for the kids. That's BS. They got it for themselves, and we just reaped the benefits every now and then. But, you played a lot of that stupid circus game.
I loved it. He found circus for me, and just for hours I would sit there and...
You're obsessive.
I know.
Yeah. So you're a bit of a geek, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm an old geek.
That's a sad thing.
Yeah, really. It is a very sad thing.
An old geek that doesn't own a software company is a sad thing.
It is a very sad thing because
you're broke.
Again, your window is closed.
And you're still a geek.
That was your shot, and your window was closed up. But
I blame my parents.
Yeah.
If they'd actually got me an Apple when I wanted one.
Yeah, then all bets would be off. All bets would be back on, actually.
Instead, I got a Atari 800 XL.
Okay.
That means nothing to you.
Well, no, I'm like thinking that's still okay, right?
No, actually, it really isn't.
Okay, well,
it had.
Before
it had,
we get into the finer points of the Apple IIc versus the Atari 800 XL, why don't you tell the kids your maybe your earliest video game memory?
Well, like I said, seeing Pong and Sears was probably my earliest.
Yeah. Was that like on the Intellivision?
Oh no, God, man!
Or was it the actual stand-up?
It was the actual. Pong
back when Sears had the restaurant. In the front.
I don't know if they had a restaurant. I don't remember.
Yeah, Sears had a restaurant area in the front, and that's where the video games were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not even a stand-up. You got to remember, I'm older than you. I'm talking about the first home system Pong that was being sold.
Right, okay.
Before any other game systems were being even out. There was
okay,
no Atari.
Got it. Nice.
There was Pong.
Pong.
Home computer entertainment system, whatever the hell they called it.
Bet that cost a shitload of money in them days.
It did, and I didn't get one, but that's what I remember is trying that out. And like, oh, shiny.
Something I've never seen before.
And I mean, I've always been an entertainment junkie, so.
Oh, yeah, we've covered that.
Yes.
So
eventually, that would be it. But the first system I ever owned was.
I just keep hoping that your stuff doesn't fall and crush you before you can be featured on the show Hoarders. It's walked that fine line between.
Shelves, man.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's
now we have shelves.
Yeah. For now, you have shelves. You'll still have the shelves. You just won't be able to get to them eventually.
Anyway, there you go. Atari 2600.
Yeah.
At it. Liked it. Pitfall was never very good at it, but.
You know, Pitfall, man. Yeah. We didn't have too many games, but I had a friend who had all the games in the world. And, you know, I'd go over there and my mom would be like, well, you have to meet me outside at this certain time. Well, you're never going to make that deadline because you're busy playing Pitfall, for Christ's sake. I mean, how can you expect a kid to tear themselves away from the greatest game ever invented up till that point?
Those games never had an ending either. They just changed game.
Pitfall had an ending.
I never
made
it.
You could, in theory, find all the gold within the timeline, but it had a defined, like 30 minutes, I guess, to get everything done.
I never actually got to play Pitfall, but, you know, I saw it advertised along with all the other games.
Yeah,
but so young.
My favorite was
I have no idea what this game
Demons to Diamonds. Does anybody remember that one?
Yeah,
Demons to Diamonds.
And then I think there was one, it was kind of a ripoff of Space Invaders. It was called Demon Hunter, or, you know. They look like birds, and you shoot them, and then they'd split, and then you'd shoot them again, and they'd split. Love that game.
Yeah.
River Raid.
Those games are really good.
Activision
games. Obsessive. Yeah. These games are really good for the obsessive compulsive. I think those type games. Gotta get them all.
Mega Mania.
I wonder what color scheme it's gonna switch into next. That's how you differentiated between the levels. Different color scheme and slightly faster.
Just speed.
Defender and Missile Command.
Were those your go-to back in the day? Let's jump over to you since you did grow up around here. Yeah. What arcades did you frequent?
Oh man, arcade. Well. What was it called?
Boardwalk?
Boardwalk, yeah. The Nickel and Dimes. Nickels and Dimes.
The Space
yeah.
Center. Yes.
But yeah, there and there was the Boardwalk, too. Spent a lot of time there. Blew a lot of money. But also, I think the one that I spent the most time at, especially in the late 80s, was right down the street from me was a Peter Piper Pizza. That
Great videos there. Absolutely.
I'll always go down there. And just,
yep.
In fact, that's where we'd go kick each other's ass at Double Dragon. So.
Yeah, I would actually spend a lot of time at that same Peter Piper Pizza playing Mortal Kombat.
Yeah?
And Mortal Kombat 2. And that was... actually, the pizza, I like the pizza too. And that's one of the reasons I like to go to Phoenix, because they still have Peter Piper Pizza.
Do they really?
They do! Yes. It's amazing! It's just like old times. But
wow.
I know. But back to you. Your first video game memory, Trevor Price.
Pong. Actually, just playing Pong in the dining room with Mom and Dad.
Yeah, but that was on the Atari 2600.
And then Shinobi.
Somebody's cell phone is going off.
It's not me.
Might be.
maybe Jason's.
Maybe Jason's getting a call from Felicia. Hi, Jason. I'm going to phone this one in. Hey, baby. I was really thinking that I miss you, and you kind of slipped into an alcoholic coma last night.
Why do you sound like you're possessed?
Sounds like one of the chipmunks.
Yeah, because I'm on the phone.
Voice.
Yeah, I'm just phoning it in. Look, I was thinking, since you fell into an alcoholic coma last night, and I really tried to take advantage of you, but you threw up on me.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, you kind of owe me, so bring home,
the bacon.
Bring home the back bacon. Bring home beef and buns.
Two hot dogs.
Tubular beef.
Tubular beef products.
Yes. And choke on it.
Exactly. Okay, baby. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Love you, dear.
Yeah. So there you go. Felicia phoned it in.
Shinobi.
Oh, I loved Shinobi.
Yeah. Sitting in your room playing Shinobi, listening to DJ Jazzy Jeff.
You know, and that's the funny thing is when I got a game on the Master System, I like Ninja. There was a game just simply called Ninja. This was back when names didn't really have to be creative. They just had to, you know,
exist.
And
the box art was horrible.
The box art was terrible. But I had a game called Ninja, and it was the Sega Ninja. And Sega had this stand-up game, and it was very limited release, and it was based on that. And I think it was only released in Japan. But I would only listen to, like, one cassette, because you only had, you know, you didn't have a CD changer. You just had one, like, cassette player. So I'd listen to the same cassette over and over while I was playing certain games. And I remember I listened to, like, Beastie Boys' License to Ill while I was playing Ninja. And then I'd switch over to Run DMC when I played Black Belt. So I was listening to the same crap over and over while I played these games. And so now if I hear those songs, I'm like, oh, my God.
It's your personal soundtrack.
Like, the levels. I'm like, oh, God, I remember where I was.
When I hear any DJ Jazzy Jeff from that album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the DJ, I'm the rapper.
Yes,
again, creative writing at its best.
Yes. But yeah, I always think of Shinobi, Go You Be Star.
Go You Be Star was from Black Belt.
Was it Black Belt? I thought yeah, it was Shinobi.
No, that was Black Belt. The Sega games, yeah, again, so well named. Yeah. Well, they're blending together. Your memories are blending together because you're old.
I know.
Yeah. Your brain is melding into one big blob. And eventually, you know what's going to happen? Someday you're going to leave the house without pants.
Damn it.
Yeah, and that's kind of the end of it. Once you leave the house without pants...
It's all over?
Yeah, pretty much all bets are off.
Yeah. Hey, maybe I'll do that tonight, just kind of speed things along.
Preemptive strike.
Yeah, that's right.
Preventive
Jump
maintenance.
Jump the shark a little early.
Exactly. So, Heather.
Yes? I don't want to share my
You
stories.
Grew up poor.
Bite me.
You grew up...
wow.
Yes, the first game console...
Wait, stop.
No.
Okay,
I don't want
we have to punctuate it.
Music.
So you grew up... Not necessarily with all the advantages of the other kids.
No, the first game console I ever owned was the PlayStation 2 when I married you.
Woo!
Nice!
Cementing the fact that you married me for my money.
Hell yeah, baby. Fork it over.
That's right. Yeah, but you had played video games as a kid.
Well, this is going to sound really pathetic. We used to go to Pizza Hut for the all-you-can-eat pizza every once in a while. That was our treat. And yeah. I loved Moon Patrol, but we never actually played it. We just stood and watched.
Oh my God.
That can only be
like you watched
Justin's.
Other people play it, or you
and
watched the preview.
Just watched the game.
Watched the loop.
And I watched other people play it, but I pretty much used one of my friends in school because
living vicariously.
Because she had a game console, so we had sleepovers all the time. What do you want to do? We're like, play video games. She's like, why? I play it all the time. I'm like, we never get to play it.
Don't.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
She had an Atari and
Atari. What, the 5200, 2600? Do you remember? 7200.
I have no idea. 1985?
Might still be the 26.
Probably 26. Yeah.
She had a whole, you know, rack of games. I thought it was sweet.
She had a rack, huh?
She did. Nice. She had quite the rack.
She had quite the rack.
At such a young age.
Nice. Interesting. So what was this friend's name?
Valerie.
Valerie had the nice rack of video games. Yeah. She was... Was she really your friend, or were you just using her?
No, she's really my friend. We still keep in contact. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Should ask her how her rack's doing.
You're so funny.
See, you're one of the few people that don't think so.
Well, and I knew about nickels and dimes, but only my brother used to go. We never went.
Yeah. My mom took me to the quarter zone if I had been good.
I don't think I ever went to
the quarter zone. The quarter zone was over on Boychuk. Over by Saks, which is now Victory World Outreach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That place, it was...
We didn't go that far north. We lived in the ghetto.
It was not far from you.
Yeah.
Really not far. And that was the weird thing about arcades like in the 80s, is they had all the lights off. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they would keep it dark. And then, you know...
To make the screens brighter.
Yeah, but it's like a pickpocketer's paradise, really. I mean...
Well, are you telling us something you used to do as a child?
No, I guarded my money with my life. Are you kidding me?
He used to make fake tokens.
I did that. And I admitted that to you.
You did.
There was an arcade in the Citadel for a while. You remember that on the upper level?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, over by Mervyn's.
Yeah, exactly. Right, exit right over there. And I pulled some tokens out of my pocket one day while I was there, and I noticed how similar in size they were to a nickel. And the tokens, of course, cost a quarter. I realized that if you just flatten that nickel out a little bit, then you had a token. And so I took a big bag of nickels and sat with the hammer and the anvil for a few hours.
That worked.
Did it work?
And made a bag full of slugs, and I'd say 9 out of 10 of them worked.
Wow.
Yeah.
Should have gone to Vegas.
Totally. I mean, this was probably like 1990, 1991 that I was doing. And yeah, it
that's an awesome
it worked.
Story.
And I got to play a lot of games. Of course, then again, how much is my time worth? I think you have to ask yourself. So, yeah, I spent enough time making these things that I was probably playing maybe 25 cents worth of game for about 20 cents worth
probably
of effort.
Probably just the thrill of cheating the system, though, man.
But that's
what it's about.
Yeah, I could just walk in and
yeah, I mean, at that age, your time really isn't worth that much anyway. Nobody's paying you to do a damn thing.
You're right.
So really, you were doing was taking what little you had and making it stretch.
That's right. So yeah. I stretched 5 into 25.
Yeah. That's a good job.
Yeah. Pretty good return.
Even better is if you can find slugs for free on the construction sites.
Is that what you would do?
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about your deviant past then?
No, we're talking about games.
Oh, okay.
We've already discussed my deviant past.
So, Christina, we haven't got around to you yet.
Yeah, I'm a youngin'.
And just for the sake of argument and as a point of reference, how old are you?
I'm 23.
23. Holy crap.
Yeah.
23.
Yeah.
Robbing the cradle of love, as Billy Idol would say, Chris. Thank you.
Hey,
I was about to say.
I was going to fish. I had to think for a second.
Yeah. You're going to stare at me for a while.
Okay. Thinking.
So being that you are much younger than the rest of us, then you have much different video game experiences.
Yeah. The first console I ever had was a Sega Genesis, and that was a hand-me-down from my older cousin who used to live in my house. And the best game, in my opinion, because there was Golden Axe, there was Streets of Rage, I think it was called, the Bejeweled-style games where it's like addicted like Tetris. Mm-hmm. You got to match the colors,
columns,
and they all explode, you know. My favorite was the Street Fighter. There was only 3 characters. One was a kickboxer.
Street Fighter or Streets of Rage?
Not Street Fighter, it's Streets of Rage. Okay. One was a white kickboxer dude. One was a black boxer. Mm-hmm. And the other one was a chick who was a multi-martial arts. I mean, she flipped through the air. She was the best fighter out of the entire game because she did so many different styles.
Yeah.
I don't even know how many levels this game had, but yeah, colors changed. That's about the gist of it. None of the enemies ever really changed.
You could still see what the hell you were looking at and know what you were looking at. It wasn't like a pixelated thing.
Yeah, no, there was actually
like
really good graphics for that.
Yeah, it's a side-scroller fighter.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't like accidentally
beat 'em up.
It wasn't like accidentally getting caught in the belly of the dragon on that Dungeons game
Adventure.
On the Atari, and it'll carry all through frickin' creation and back, and you couldn't get out.
Adventure. You were dead by that point. There's no getting out.
Yeah, but it would just keep going. It's like,
that's
what's
why you hit the reset button. That's the loop it's in.
It was annoying. And that game, like Raiders of the Lost Ark, that came out for the 2600.
Yeah, that... Well,
what a pointless effing game
movie
that
tie-in
was.
Games never are very good.
No, and at the time, they
were
really bad.
With the exception of then. Chronicles of Riddick for the Xbox.
Right.
Well, but now you're talking about nowadays.
I thought you meant as an overall rule.
No, nowadays, like time and effort is put into it. I mean, Christ, video games are made into movies now, as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah.
So, let me put it this way. The protocol has changed. But back in our day, back when we were kids, these tie-ins were just lame. I mean, how many copies of E.T. had to be destroyed because
it was over 1 million, yeah.
Over a million?
They basically made twice as many as there were consoles that were sold.
Yeah.
Which was a mistake.
That was a lame game.
Yeah.
Buy one and then give one as a gift.
And the guy was given, like, I think 2-3 days to make the game, so it's not like he had a lot of options.
Well, again, back in the day, this was not really looked upon.
Back before programmers even got credit for being the programmers.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were no game credits. There was the company that made it, and that was it.
Like Joust. I like Joust.
Williams, I believe.
Yeah.
No, I would spend hours in like arcades. Usually I didn't play, mainly because I was broke personally. And my grandparents did not, being they were the ones who raised me, they did not believe in video games.
Oh, were they the devil?
Pretty much, yeah. They were a waste of... My grandfather didn't care so much. He just thought they were a waste of time. We could be doing something better.
Of course.
My grandmother, Southern Baptist. That's all I have to say.
Oh, wow.
And the first console that I owned that was mine was the PlayStation. And I bought it. I bought all my games. Mm-hmm. And then my brother got his own.
Yeah.
And then I just became a junkie for the computer. And I didn't play many video games until, well... till I was about 16. So.
Hmm. Okay.
So by that time it was like PS2 or something.
Sure. So arcades though, since that was really when we were younger, the arcade was the place to be because there was always that disparity between the home console version.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had the arcade version.
Mm-hmm.
Compete.
And then they had the, you know, the crappy cartridge version you'd have for like, you know, like Double Dragon Burger for time. The stand up one that was, you know, the one you had for the NES was nothing compared to that. And yeah, and now you just have...
Yeah, unfortunately, it's hard to find a good arcade that keeps their games.
Arcades are kind of going the way of travel agencies. They're just not really...
Dance Dance Revolution now is pretty much all they got in the arcade.
Yeah, or Guitar Hero. They actually have an arcade game for that now.
Yeah, but back in the day, what was like your go-to stand-up arcade game?
Believe it or not, the one that I got addicted to just because it pissed me off so much was a game called Jump Bug.
Jump Bug. I remember Jump Bug.
It was one hit, you're dead.
Oh, I hated those games.
But there was a whole lot to the game once you got past a certain point.
And you you thought.
And at the arcade that I was going to, if you could beat the high score, you get $10 worth of quarters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's quite the
exactly. Gift. And I got to the point where I could beat my high score, and I had the highest score on basically the whole list. Yeah. I just beat it. Get $10. Play a little more. Get just enough to beat it. Get another $10. Nice. They stopped me from doing that after a while.
It's like all you can eat, but not for you.
All you can play.
Exactly. Huh? And that was the game that I spent the most time on.
Yeah. I don't even have to ask you.
No.
But I will anyway.
Galaga.
I know. Yeah. And if you remember the movie War Games from 1983, that launched that video game into national prominence because Matthew Broderick was playing Galaga instead of going to school. And you glommed onto it because you had this hot thing for Matthew Broderick. But then you realized, hey, I'm not too bad at this game.
The game was fun.
Yeah.
I loved it. I would go down to the Penny Arcade in Manitou and just play it for hours.
Yeah. How about you? When you were given a day where you got a treat, maybe you found a quarter on the floor.
Shut up.
Or on the sidewalk.
I liked Moon Patroller. What is it? Spy Hunter.
Spy Hunter was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah, Spy Hunter was a lot of fun. How about you? I mean, you already mentioned Missile Command and Defender, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For stand-up games, though, I was a quarterback.
Oh, John Elway's quarterback. Yeah.
That was, there was always, at the arcade I'd go to, there was always like, they'd always have these tournaments going on. Like, not like official tournaments, but like whoever wins the game, they get to stay on the machine, play the next player. I never got to stay on the machine, but damn it. I tried.
You gave it your best shot.
I gave it my best shot.
Yeah. There was a 7-Eleven had video games for a long, long time. They don't have games in store now, I guess, because that just led to trouble. But growing up, the 7-Eleven down the street here had Karate Champ. And by God, I was good at Karate Champ.
Was that where one guy was dressed in a red gi and the other guy was dressed in white?
Full point.
Not to be confused with, you know, Street Fighter. This was right before that.
Yeah, it was just two joysticks. And you did the moves with a combination of the joysticks. And one day, I happened to come in contact with a guy that had a pocket full of quarters and an itch to lose. And he, it was head-to-head. And the machine said, lose or pay. Okay, so he kept paying. He kept continuing, and I kept just beating his ass. It was the same move every time. Come up with a high kick, and then punched in the jaw.
Those games really knew how to, like, rub it in when you lost.
Full point.
Like, you lose!
Yeah, you get the girl, and the other guy's weeping with a broken leg. And, yeah, I ended up with the high score of all time, because it kept score if you were doing head-to-head. You usually, you get, only if you're playing against the computer,
so
would you
would
be competing for the high score. It kept tacking on the score.
Nice.
And I beat this guy so many times that I had an unbeatable freaking high score. That was amazing.
What were your initials?
D-E-F. Uh-huh. Def, not D-Z-K, because everybody's like, hey, dick. So I'd put Def.
Def.
Def Jam.
Right.
Yeah, so that was fun. And what else was fun? Actually, Jungle Hunt, for some strange reason.
Yeah, I played a lot of Jungle Hunt,
was
too.
Fun, but Paperboy, I think. Paperboy.
Oh, I hated that game.
Paperboy and Matt Mania. I loved Matt Mania. Because
Skate or die.
I was so stupid for professional wrestling at that time. And so Matt Mania was a fun little game. Skate or Die, I did not like. You mean it was 720 degrees was the actual game.
Whoa, I'm sorry. Yeah, I keep thinking ball. Of
Skate or Die was when the bees were coming after you. Skate or die.
Yeah,
and then suddenly the bees get you. It's like, could it be anything, or were they hornets? But it's like, couldn't it be something like the Grim Reaper? Why is it always bees?
Do you remember? Does anybody remember Bad Dudes? You know,
yeah,
the
I
Ralph
did,
Macchio
yeah.
lookalikes that save Ronald Reagan from ninjas.
Yes,
yeah.
Well, that was
hell yeah, man.
That game was called, well, because there was a game called Dragon Ninja. And then they came out with Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja.
Who won?
And didn't it have the opening screen of Stay in School, Stay Off Drugs? I believe.
Yeah, those
winners
actually
don't
that was
use drugs.
Winners Don't Use Drugs. That was the screen that was on the start of most video games.
Then I don't know if any of you remember this, but there was a game called Vigilante. It was another one of those where you have to save Madonna from a gang of thugs.
You know, I think I've actually seen that one. But it was in one of those places that revamped the old arcade games, and they had it on display for like $500.
Not a
that
bad
game
price.
Is not worth $500. Trust
those,
me.
For those Vigilantes obscure collectors.
It's only Madonna, dude.
Qbert was the one I hated.
Qbert, you know, the funny thing is we got Qbert for Christmas 1983 for the 2600. Yep. And it was lauded as the best arcade to home translation of the year. And boy, was it frustrating. God, I remember sitting on my ass.
What was the point of Qbert? You're supposed
to turn
them all
Qbert was
to, colors?
Yeah, and avoid the fucking snake. Well, I remember sitting on my ass playing Qbert all day, listening to Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And we're probably listening to Great Gold AM 1460 KHT. Mm-hmm. And that's all I remember. I just played Qbert all freaking day. God,
I'm
that was
sorry.
A bad day. I know, right? But at the time...
You got nothing else to do.
You got nothing else to do. It was the pinnacle.
Three channels of television, and that's it.
That's right. And we had gotten Qbert for Christmas. God, we were so cool.
We were.
I'd like to say no stand-up game garnered any audience as large when you were playing it as Street Fighter II when you were going against the last four bosses.
You know, I never made it that far. I did a lot of head-to-head. I was always Dulcet.
Yeah, but like if you were able to go... And beat Balrog,
get everyone to
and
those
like
last four.
Vega, Sagat, and then M. Bison. Everyone was like, oh my god, he's fighting the last four. But it was only when the game first came out, and you still didn't know how to do the Hadouken or the Hurricane Kick or the uppercut.
I always did, in Street Fighter 2, I was only Dulcim.
Only
because
Dulcim.
He could stand at the one end of the screen and go, whoo-twah! And rubber hand all the way across. It was like, you could just stay out of harm's way and kick the crap out of people. That's kind of my way of doing
You'd be the person that would piss me off of video games.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's exactly the same technique that I used in Mortal Kombat 2 with Sub-Zero.
Well, see, with Mortal Kombat,
freeze the floor,
I was always
freeze
Katana.
Freeze the thing. It's the same thing over and over. In fact, I remember you hosted a video game one night, a video game night, and we played Mortal Kombat 2. And one of you threw down the controller and walked out of the room.
Probably me.
Because that's all I was doing. Was
I
freezing
hate that
the floor.
Cheap shit.
Uppercut.
Well, nothing,
variety.
Nothing pissed
just
because
you found a loophole
than...
doesn't mean you have to use it.
Yeah.
They've installed this pattern in the game. I am going to take full advantage
Did
of it.
Did anybody ever play Killer Instinct? The one where you get those ridiculous combos?
Of course.
Combos
you're fighting with like dinosaurs, right?
I think a dinosaur was one.
Or an ape. Or, yeah, it was
like
animals.
Yeah, like a mutated ape.
Well,
yeah.
No, this was the one where you had the insane combos. You
yeah,
had
but, that would be, yeah
Jago,
but all the characters were
Fulgore.
Mutated animals.
Not all of them. There was Raptor was one, and you had a werewolf.
Rampage?
No, Rampage. Although Rampage, total
you're thinking
classic.
Of Rampage.
No.
He's thinking of a...
No, he mentioned Rampage. Rampage is a wonderful
Killer
game.
Killer Instinct is different. It's more like a... Soul Calibur
Ultra
type.
Combo.
Yeah, yeah. But right. There was a game. I thought it was Killer Instinct. There was a game like that was all these mutated animals that you're fighting
Bloody
with.
Roar?
I don't know. God, there's so many of them.
I remember.
There are so many.
Altered Beast.
Altered Beast.
Rise from the grave and save my daughter. Do it yourself. Shit. If you have the power to raise me from the fucking grave, I think you can save your daughter.
You'd think.
And the fact that you can't duck, right?
And then you're like some wussy.
Anything coming your way is
gonna hit you. The only thing that powers you up is that two-headed white wolf. You punch it and that glowing orb happens and then you get buff, super buff, and then like steroid buff, and then you turn into the beast. And then when you lose, it's like, never give up. I'm like, well, then give me some money. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I
make
actually,
you feel like a loser for walking away.
I had Altered Beast for the Genesis, and one of the worst games I ever played.
Altered Beast?
It was horrible.
I just
game.
Liked how when you kicked the zombies or whatever, they go...
Bones and shit flew everywhere?
Flew, yeah. Like, toward the screen.
Ah,
like,
but Splatterhouse is a much better one.
I never got to play that.
Really?
I wanted to, man.
His medication says he can't play Splatterhouse.
No, only if I miss
it. Splatterhouse is the one that terrified my son when he was watching it with me.
Oh, really?
Because the zombies would come up out of the floor, and I thought he was fine. You know, he's three.
He's how old?
Three.
Dude.
And he starts freaking out. He doesn't want to look. The floor is scaring him. I'm like, oh, well, I guess we better stop.
Way to go, father of the year.
Hey, okay, he's an honor student with straight A's. I think I did okay.
Yeah, you scared him into just staying inside and not looking at the
It sun. Worked.
Like a zombie.
It worked, whatever it is. It worked.
Nice.
My sisters have got some sort of zombie game on their iTouch. It's
hilarious.
App. But it goes kind of back when you were talking about that kid and the stick figure dismemberment. I was thinking about my sisters. They're playing this game now. She's got the shotgun and she's blowing the heads off zombies, and then they totally gibber when they, you know, rip her to shreds. And I'm like, that's
yeah.
Totally
they
not
when they rip you apart, they start
it's totally
dancing around and laughing at you.
Nice.
My just parents like, wouldn't even
iPhone.
Let me watch.
Yeah, you just I hit think
the,
I have it.
You hit the screen and shoot.
It's called Zombieville, and it's a great game. But
Zombieville.
How is it my sisters can play that, yet when I was their age, I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons or wrestling?
Yeah, but you got paid a bunch of money to say the F word in a feature film. So you had your fun.
Yeah, that was
So I don't want to hear
but then
it. I don't want to hear
your sisters quit
your
will
bitching.
Not watch a zombie game. Or a zombie movie or anything like that. They will not watch it. They do not like it, but they'll play the little cutesy zombie game.
Well, I think
your sisters are kind of strange, actually.
Yeah, they don't like candy and they love vegetables.
Didn't,
I'm not even kidding.
Well, they came from a different land, right?
Well, yeah.
I'm just pointing that out. That might be why they love vegetables so much.
But they grew up here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, it's nature versus nurture.
Okay.
Right. We can have that argument on a completely different show.
Anyway, yeah. I just.
Yeah. Do you have any more sad stories to share with us?
Bite me.
It's still not as sad as Carmichael's story.
No, Carmichael's story, which we should tell in his stead.
Who's
and,
Carmichael?
Justin Carmichael, who didn't show up, and we'll play his theme song since he's not here. So he told the story. He told the story on a different podcast, I believe. But when he was a kid, and he loves video games. I mean, this is a guy, his basement is what he calls the museum. He has every console pretty much ever made. And he has all these Japanese games. I mean, huge into video games. But when he was a kid, he had no money. And was it his grandfather?
Yes.
His grandfather took pity on him and made him a wooden Atari 2600.
Aww.
For him to pretend for Christmas.
Yeah, so he got an Atari 2600 made entirely out of wood.
So he'd just pretend he was...
And a wood, a little wood joystick.
Oh, my God.
And he would pretend that...
That's almost cruel.
Wooden Pitfall was on the wooden TV. So he had to use.
I think it's pretty cool.
That's like the punchline to a blue collar comedy.
Exactly.
Joke.
I know. It's so
unbelievable,
sad.
Man.
Sounds like something that would happen in my family back then.
Yeah. So instead
that's
of
awful.
They couldn't. Yeah, he couldn't afford like to fork out the cash to buy it, but he could afford to invest all these hours to carve one out of wood.
Again, it's a matter of it.
Right.
Just because you have the time doesn't mean someone's going to pay you.
That's true. It's true. I mean, it's probably the fact that he didn't get paid much for his time. That's why he couldn't buy him. The game
exactly.
console. He could carve.
He had the skill to make one.
Oh, I'm sure he meant well. I would.
And you
be,
know, the funny thing.
I would have been more impressed though if it were articulated so that wooden cartridges would fit in the wooden slot.
Well, exactly, and that type of crafting these days would be huge in geek culture.
Oh, I know. If he still had it, he could sell it and buy a billion. Well, let's not say a billion.
He probably wouldn't sell it either, though.
But he doesn't have it.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I think he burned it for
Stay
warm.
One cold winter.
One cold winter. Atari had. Jeez. Yeah, it's just like the fatter pig had to go and the Atari had to go. He had a tough life. It's a shame he's not here to defend himself.
I would have liked to hear about this story from
directly from
him.
Right. It's like you hear somebody singing.
Well, then go back through the past pods because we did talk about
it. We talked about it at one point, so you can hear. You could hear it. I mean, if you're really this will be 90 something.
Do you? This just shows how little attention I pay to this side of it. Do you list what we talk about in them, or is it just given a number?
You have a tagline with a brief.
I do a brief description. But I don't really get.
So that should
narrow
it down because he's not been on a lot of the shows.
No, yeah, that should narrow it down for you. That's why I give him the look that doesn't translate well to radio. So yeah, video games. Everybody's played them, and it's that's great.
That's all I have to say about that.
You've been listening to the Set of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. We did almost 45 minutes on video games, and then we kind of denigrated into people talking over one another and just throwing out games, almost like requests.
Yes.
Remember this one? This is Derek Knapp from SetOfCheese.com. With me, as always, Colin Burton from FizzleAndPop.com.
Goodbye.
My sister, Heather, from Mad and Spam.
Bye-bye.
My wife, Heather, who was had she of the sad childhood.
See ya.
Jason Ozan from RedRumRadio.com.
Asta.
And what is your name again? Chris Graham. Chris Graham, star of Stage and Screen. And Chris's handler, Christina.
Bye.
We'll see you kids back again on a future episode when time permits.